setting, same, I will praise your name. From the rising sun to the setting, same, I will praise your name. From the rising sun to the setting, same, I will praise your name. From the rising sun to the setting, same, I will praise your name. Great is your faithfulness to me. The song said, I'll remain steadfast. I thought, well, that seems backwards. And it is. Because God is the rock. He is the one who, when he speaks a word, it comes to pass. It is our goal, it is our struggle to remain steadfast. Trust in that. Have faith in our God, our Maker, our Creator, our Father.
You may be seated as we continue to worship the Lord. Being Father's Day, we have a lot of special things going on, so fasten your seatbelts. If you don't know what I'm talking about, I'll just go ahead right now and bring Pastor Jason up, and he always has a nice surprise for us, something really sweet today, so we're thankful to have him come forward. Do you know they've been doing this challenge for BGMC and they've been eating these hot peppers? But these guys, you know, they act real brave up here when they do that. And I think we need a video of when they go downstairs. Yes.
As Lloyd said, it's not pretty when we get downstairs. It hurts. Last time, we were manning up and we were using our fingers. You know, it didn't hurt our fingers. Tough, yeah, do this. Got downstairs and I was sweating. Guess what I did? Oh, I was hurting. Thank goodness Lloyd knew what to do. Last I knew, we were at $1,900, so about $350 away from our next Death Nut Challenge, which is the third one. I don't know. I'm losing track, but we're getting close to the big one, okay? But this is not what we're talking about. But every year we give a Bible to our graduates. And we actually had a homeschool graduate. And I want to deeply apologize for forgetting that that is also an accomplishment. And so October, Autumn Smith went ahead and graduated from Penn Foster. And she's now in college at the age of, she's 16 or 17 yet. She graduated at the age of 16 and started college the next month. So she's a very bright girl. And so I wanted to present a Bible, since she's obviously at work today, to her parents, Lloyd and Ruthie. Lloyd, are you stuck up there? Not in a bad emotional sense, stuck up. But bride's coming, so you're going to let her do it? Okay. So, and the bride is like, he's leaving me up here by myself. But this is a Bible that Pastor Kevin would love to have. And I was able to find it. It's an all-leather edition of the Fire Bible in the English Standard Version, so it's a huge study help, and I use this one for my own Bible study. So I want to give that to Autumn and say thank you, congratulations to her, and good luck in her school.
Let's see, we've got announcements, very important. This Thursday, is it this Thursday? The topical Bible study? At 6:30 here at the church. And Janice Thompson is going to be leading that. So it's called A Servant's Heart. And so all of you ladies, come on out. We usually have a very good time as these get-togethers. Friday. Who really knows what Friday is? Yahoo! Yes, wise guys. I'm going to try and call you because I really miss those phone calls and talking to you. I've been trying to cut down on what I'm doing, but I don't want to miss talking to you, so I'm going to try. If I don't get to you, well, you come to Wise Guys anyway, okay? So that's Friday at CC's, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, the back room. That's Wise Guys. And then Girls Adventure Camp is June 21st through the 23rd. And that's all girls grade 2 through high school are welcome to attend that. So see Pastor Jason. Now you know him, and he'll give you details and help you with that. Does anyone have anything else that I might have forgotten? Okay. We're going to have our men come up, please. All of our men, fathers and potential fathers, come up to the front. Okay. Thank you very much for being the first ones to move. You know, on Father's Day, this is what's going to happen. So come on. Come on. And Janice Thompson, if she'll come to the platform. And we welcome our online viewers. And while we're giving the men gifts, we have a special treat for our online people and for you folks that are here. Janice is going to do a reading. And while she does this for you, I'll be passing out the gifts to the men. So please pay attention to Janice.
Okay, this is, can you hear me? Doesn't sound like a song. It's called The Pickle Jar. As far back as I can remember, that pickle jar sat on the floor beside the dresser in my parents' bedroom. When he got ready for bed, Dad would empty his pockets and toss his coins into the jar. As they were dropped into the jar, they landed with a merry jingle. And when the jar was almost empty, then the tones gradually muted to a dull thud as the jar was filled. I used to squat on the floor in front of the jar and admire the copper and silver circles that glinted like a pirate's treasure when the sun poured through the bedroom window. When the jar was filled, Dad would sit at the kitchen table and roll the coins before taking them to the bank. Taking the coins to the bank was always a big production. Stacked neatly in a small cardboard box, the coins were placed between Dad and me on the seat of that old pickup truck. Each and every time as we drove to the bank, Dad would look at me hopefully. "Those coins are going to keep you out of the textile mill, son. You're going to do better than me. This old mill town's not going to hold you back." Also, each and every time, as he slid the box of rolled coins across the counter at the bank toward the cashier, he would grin proudly. "These are for my son's college fund. He'll never work at the mill all his life like me." We would always celebrate each deposit by stopping for an ice cream cone. Good way to celebrate. I always got chocolate. Dad always got vanilla. When the clerk at the ice cream parlor handed Dad his change, he would show me the few coins nestled in his palm. When we get home, we'll start filling the jar again. He always let me drop the first coins into the empty jar. As they rattled around with a brief happy jingle, we grinned at each other. "You'll get to college on pennies, nickels, dimes, and quarters," he said, "but you'll get there, and I'll see to that." The years passed, and I finished college and took a job in another town. Once, while visiting my parents, I used the phone in their bedroom and noticed that the pickle jar was gone. It had served its purpose and had been removed. A lump rose in my throat as I stared at the spot beside the dresser where the jar had always stood. My dad was a man of few words and never lectured me on the value of determination, perseverance, and faith. The pickle jar had taught me all these virtues far more eloquently than the most flowery of words could have ever done. When I married, I told my wife Susan about the significant part of the lowly pickle jar that had played a big part in my life as a boy. In my mind, it defined more than anything else how much my dad loved me. No matter how rough things got at home, Dad continued to doggedly drop his coins into the jar. Even the summer when Dad got laid off from the mill and Mama had to serve dried beans several times a week, not a single dime was taken from the jar. To the contrary, as Dad looked across the table at me, pouring ketchup over my beans to make them more palatable, he became more determined than ever to make a way out for me. "When you finish college, son," he told me, his eyes were glistening, "you'll never have to eat beans again, unless you want to." The first Christmas after our daughter Jessica was born, we spent the holiday with my parents. After dinner, Mom and Dad sat next to each other on the sofa, taking turns cuddling with their first grandchild. Jessica began to whimper softly, and Susan took her from Dad's arms. "She probably needs to be changed," she said, carrying the baby into my parents' bedroom to diaper her. When Susan came back into the living room, there was a strange mist in her eyes. She handed Jessica back to Dad before taking my hand and leading me into the room. "Look," she said softly, her eyes directing me to the spot on the floor beside the dresser. To my amazement, there, as if it had never been removed, stood that old pickle jar, the bottom already covered with coins. I walked over to the pickle jar, dug down into my pocket, and pulled out a fistful of coins. With a gamut of emotions choking me, I dropped the coins into the jar. I looked up and saw that Dad, carrying Jessica, had slipped quietly into the room, our eyes locked. And I knew he was feeling the same emotions I felt. Neither one of us could speak. This truly touched my heart. I know it has done so with yours as well. Sometimes we are so busy adding up our troubles that we forget to count our blessings. Sorrow looks back. Worry looks around. But faith looks up. Thank you.
Yes. What a true good example of a dad. And so many times fathers' hearts are like that, and we never know, you know, what they are contributing to the children growing up. But men are so important. Janice is one of our prayer leaders, so I'm going to have her ask the prayer over all you men. So ladies, everyone else, if you would please stand up as she brings us to prayer.
Almighty God, I thank you for these men that have been fathers, and we all make mistakes, but Lord, with love in their hearts for their children, what a wonderful thing they can do to be a servanthood, to be a father in their home. I pray that you might bless each one, and Lord, encompass them with your love, and help us all as fathers, Lord, to stand strong in our faith, and Lord, be always there for our children, to love them above all and show them your ways and your love, Lord. I just pray now that you may bless them and help them in their role as fathers. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
You men may sit down. I have always said since we've ever been here in Glendive that it's such a great church for having men that serve the Lord, because you can go to a lot of churches and you won't see as many men as we are blessed with. And I'm very thankful for every one of you guys. and that our church has you worshiping him and leading the people and your children in the Lord. Thank you so much. Now we're going to be blessed with Pastor Doug Gentry as he brings us some special Father's Day thing. Oh, did I miss something? Oh, don't let me have to have Jason up again. What are we having? Dismiss the children. Okay. No, he says Pastor Doug wants to keep them for what he has. Sorry, thank you. Pastor Doug.
Enjoy Father's Day, and I just thank you for the privilege to be that you allow me to be here and to be able to speak to you right off the bat. Before I get started, though, we do have a couple of videos, and the first one is going to be the one from VBS here, okay? You have the test one? Go ahead.
My name's Rodney. We're just passing through here today on our way back home. But Father's Day is a really big day in my life. We never went to church much before like 2014. And just you folks. Prior to that, I drank for 20 years straight every day. And that Father's Day, I come into an Assembly of God church. And I already had plans to get the liquor store afterwards to stock up because I was getting low. But I was sitting down that day listening, and the story was of David and Goliath, and I heard that when I was a kid. But what I can remember that day is I asked Jesus for help. There was nothing I could do. I've been to treatment centers and this and that. It's always the same old, same old. But that particular day, I was listening, and in my mind, all I can remember is Jesus was running alongside me. And I was running. I had nothing. I didn't have a swing. I had nothing. I was running. And I found the sword, and he cut the giant. That giant alcohol drama. And I walked out of that church pretty mad that day. And I haven't had a drink since then. 7 years to this day, positive. So thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Praise God. Well, thank you. Thank you. Amen. Okay. All right, I think we're ready to go now. Thank you.
Hi, Dad. Happy Father's Day. They told me I had to say something nice about you, and it made me think of Grandpa. So how's that for you? It made me think of, you know, how he had such a servant's heart and was always helping people, and sometimes we even had to keep secrets from him so he wouldn't go hurt himself. But I want to thank you for carrying on that tradition of serving people and helping people, and for passing that on to me. So thank you for being a servant and modeling that, and happy Father's Day.
I love you, Daddy.
I love you, Daddy.
Happy Father's Day.
Happy Day.
Happy Father's Day. We love you, Dad.
Happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day, Daddy, and I love you. Bye.
Happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day.
All right, it's wonderful to be celebrating Father's Day and the men that are important in our lives and what we do and the different kind of roles that they have and all that. So I thank you for the kids to be hanging out here. So at this time, go ahead. You guys can be dismissed to the children's church. Thank you, Pastor Jennifer and Pastor Jason. Appreciate that. So anyway, as I get going here, I always think about the importance of Father's Day. You know, I was thinking about doing some real deep stuff, and I thought, you know, Father's Day is a big day. You know, people, you know, the men that are in our lives, we are fathers and that stuff, really get involved and do some big things that are important to us in what we do. And sometimes we as men, sometimes we kind of lose sight of that a little bit, the importance of that. So I just wanted to take a day and focus on that and different things that we do. And the women who support the men, that's great. Sometimes you find yourself in a different things that you have to take that role of a father sometimes just because maybe they're missing, or maybe you need to get dad straight a little bit to remind them a little bit about their duties. And so that's important too, something to remember about on Father's Day, and I'll appreciate that. So sometimes as fathers, though, we get in over our head. We like to do things good for our kids and be involved in different things, right? And so, and that reminds me of one time when I got over my head. I went, a few years ago, we did whitewater rafting on one of our vacations. Now, I'm going to just tell you something here. I am absolutely terrified of water. I am afraid of it. I can't deal with it, you know. And I know right off the bat, you know, there's a lot of things you can do. Fear, you know, a lot of times fear can be like false evidence appearing real. We've heard that when we were young. And you can almost do a short devotion and everything on that and everything and not trusting God and everything. But sometimes it can feel like it's real or whatever. But I was absolutely terrified of water. But my kids, you know, and my wife, you know, they all wanted to go whitewater rafting. And I had been putting my feet down for years saying, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm afraid. You know, my body gets all tensed up and everything else. And I couldn't figure out what to do here. And so one day, about, you know, it was about 6, 7, maybe 8, yeah, I don't know how many years ago, but it was, I said, unbeknownst to them, I said, okay, went out and got the tickets. We were going to do white water rafting while we were in Big Sky. And so I'm getting ready to do that and all that type of stuff. You show up that morning, and I'm going, and I'm sitting there. I'm getting rid of my wallet and my keys in the car, and I'm sitting there thinking, okay, today is going to be the day that I die. It just isn't going to go all that well and all that type of stuff. And they bring, you know, and for those that have done it before, you know, they got a mass people in there. They're all doing it too, and you're going to be writing this thing. And I'm standing in there. I'm not saying a word. And I'm sitting there, and I'm just go walking in there. And they bring us into this room, and they give us this release form to read. and to do that. And some guy starts talking, and it was like this.
I'm aware that by signing this document, I acknowledge that certain elements of this activity may be physically and emotionally demanding, as well as dangerous. I freely and willingly accept those risks and dangers individually and on behalf of my participating family members. These risks include, but are not limited to, the loss of damage to personal property, serious injury or death due to inclement weather, slipping, collisions, raft flipping, failing, falling out of the raft, insect bites, falling objects, falls from vehicles, vehicular accidents, immersions in the cold water, hypothermia, striking submerged or visible rocks and trees, drowning, suffering any type of accidents or illness in remote areas without easy access to medical facilities, or while traveling to and from the activity site.
Well, I'm sitting there, I'm listening to all that, and I'm sitting there going, man, I'm being trying to be cool and not letting my fear for my kids and for my boys and my wife to see. I'm trying to be all brave in listening to this. And so as that's being read, this is what's actually going through my head.
Oh, foolish one. You reckless simpleton. Know that by signing this scroll of unfortunate, doomed destiny of a watery grave, you declare that certain elements of this stupid folly will be physically and emotionally life-sucking, as well as dangerous. You freely, idiotically, and on your own accord undertake these inhumane menaces and ill-fated perils. Individually, and on behalf of my participating, unsuspecting, previous family victims, members, these insane death traps and clues, but of course are in no way limited to loss, rough maltreatment or mutilation to your personal property, serious injury or death can occur due to inclement weather, slipping, collisions, raft flipping, failing, falling out of the raft, insect bites, falling objects, falls from vehicles, vehicular accidents, immersions in cold water, hypothermia, striking submerged or visible rocks and trees, drowning, suffering, any type of calamity or affliction in remote, barren areas, no easy access to medical facilities, or while wandering to and from this activity site of terror.
Okay. So, after that, I just sit there and I looked at my piece of paper and I just signed away. And so, they take us down there, they herd us into this little barn there, and they start outfitting you, they just start slamming your life jacket, your helmet on, and they give you an oar. Like, I'm trying to figure out what I need that for. But anyway, because it's just a river, you're going to go on it, right? But anyway, so I'm going along here, and I get claustrophobic, and I'm thinking, I'm feeling like Randy from the Christmas Story here, you know, how he was all looking like this. Because I'm thinking, if I fall down here and fall on the ground, that's going to be like a turtle trying to be picking me up. And so I'm going, what in the world? So we haul us into the bus here, and we drive for about 30 minutes up the hill, up the thing here. And I'm sitting there, I'm thinking all these thoughts, going over the thing and going, today again, oh, I'm not going to make it today. Oh, this is going to be tough. This is going to be tough. Oh, I'm thinking, oh, how bad can it be? Ah, it's going to be tough. So we get to the spot, to the place where we're going to put the raft in. And we all get off the bus, and we start walking down the thing there. And I'm holding my stuff, my oar, and I'm walking down. Slow as I possibly could, you know. Taking half steps or whatever, you know. And my boys, they're sitting there going, this is going to be fun, man. This is going to be fun. Isn't it, Dad? Oh, yeah, it's going to be fun. You know, I'm thinking, no, it's not going to be fun. That's in the back of my head. I am going to die today. And we get down there, right to the water's edge. And it's a part of the river that's nice and calm and everything like that, where they're getting ready to load people up. In the last minute of instruction and stuff, and they're going, okay, this is your last chance. If you're feeling any kind of nervous or whatever, you know it's time to go ahead and leave. And I'm sitting there thinking, I'm going to go. I'm going to go back. I'll sit on the bus the entire, you know, 3 or 4 hours. I'll be fine, right? But I couldn't get that foot to move. It just wouldn't do it. Not in front of my boys. I couldn't do it. So finally we get into the We meet our guide, and he gets us into the raft, and I sit up, and he says, okay, he's trying to, you in the front, and, you know, puts me in the front there, and I'm going on there, and I'm sitting on this thing, and it's so hard, and I've never been in there before, and I'm over water, and I'm going, what in the world? And finally, he'd given us instructions of how, if you fall in or whatever, and this is what's going to happen, you're going to, you know, what's going to happen, how he's going to get you out. And then, all of a sudden, we get into the water there. And I go, okay, fine. So we start going out. Okay, this is nice and smooth. This is nice and smooth. And I'm on the edge. And then all of a sudden, it's like he purposely goes and hits the only rock that's right there before he went down the rest of the river. Went, boom. Then I'm like, okay, that wasn't bad. Then I set the second one. Boom. Oh, okay. Oh, God, that's good. I feel myself slipping. And the third one, boom. Now, keep in mind, this is nice. The calm-looking part, he's doing this on purpose to get us kind of ready or whatever. And then all of a sudden, you hit the third one. Went, boom, and it spun me around like this. And then all of a sudden, I felt myself go. A moment there, I was in the air. I was in the air. And all the last words I heard before I hit the water was the guide saying, really? And so I went into the ground there, and he's like going, went into the water, and he's like, he gets up and puts me in position, and I go down deep. There's no bottom. I can't feel any bottom. I went down and I came up, and he gets me in position. He pulls me up, and I'm sitting there and I'm trying to breathe and everything like that. I go, oh. He got me out of there. Of course, at my size, it was a little struggle for him, but he did. He finally got me on there. And so he moves some people around, you know, and puts me in the back here to get ready to go, you know. And he goes, he's trying to calm me down. He goes, so how you doing? He goes, you know, what kind of job you doing? I said, well, I'm a mortician. He goes, oh, really? And I say, yeah, as a matter of fact, I was like, I kind of laughed, and I said, Actually, at the moment, I also work as kind of an on-call coroner, too. So, you know, and going, well, at least you're going to do some work for yourself. But anyway, fathers, we'll do anything a lot of times for our kids. We'll be involved, and we'll do the importance of fathers in what they do. So as we reflect on our fathers, we think some of the stuff of joy that our fathers bring. They do like dad wisdoms. They partake dad wisdom. And, you know, they do dad jokes. And I can't help it. You know, I get a dad joke. So which bear is the most condescending? Panda. What is brown and sticky? A stick. There you go. How do you get a country girl's attention? A tractor. Why are elevator jokes so classic and good? They work on many levels. On and on here. What do you call a pudgy psychic? A four-chin teller. What did the police officer say to his belly button? You're under vest. And so, want to know why nurses like red crayons? Sometimes they have to draw blood. So, and why do some couples go to the gym? Because they want their relationship to work out. Anyway, I'm sorry about that. Just a moment of a little commercial there and all that. But anything, along with dad jokes, you got dad genes. We won't talk about that too much. And dad protection and dad love. So number one, fathers lead their families. Fathers have an instinct to cast a vision and execute that vision. They have an industrious spirit and unstoppable grit that God hardwired into them. Leading a family requires bravery, decisiveness, and devotion to God. All those things are very important. we need, that it's something that's instinctively inside them. They step out and they do that. In Genesis 18, 19, it says, "For I have chosen him that he may command his children in his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, so that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has promised him." We look at Joshua. Joshua exemplifies the character of a true leader of his family. When he sees things that were crumbling all around him, he doesn't hesitate to lead his family for the things of God. This is a great example for today with the way things in this society that we see, that they're crumbling all around us. We look at different things. You know, when you just turn on the news, there's a bad kind of news. You see things going on. And all of a sudden, somehow it's a crime to be a Christian now, or for whatever reason. And we look at that. But we can look at Joshua. He can give us that example. And so those that God entrusted us with, our families, with us, they're looking for leadership to give them. In Joshua 24:15 says, "And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day who you will serve, whether the gods your fathers served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." I don't know how many times we have like pictures of that and on the wall in our house and everything when we come walking in and see that. And so Proverbs 14:26 says, "In the fear of the Lord, one has strong confidence, and his children will have a refuge." Also, fathers protect. They not only lead, they guard. Not only on Father's Day, but every day of the year, 24/7. God asks us to do that. We protect them. We are supposed to be suspicious of our daughter's boyfriend, and any other friend for that matter. We see friends can lead our children astray. It's our job as fathers and in the family, the mothers too, when they're filling that role, is to protect our children in that. If we see a problem, kids may not understand it, but too bad. They will in the future understand it because they will have the kids. And so we need to step out and do that. Dads are driven to make a safe home for their family. We always use that term safe, you know, safe home or whatever. That's been for centuries. As father in our families, the whole makeup of what they are is we provide that safe place where our kids can come at, and they can feel safe, and we protect them in that home. In Deuteronomy 1:29-31, "Then I said to you, do not be in dread or afraid of them. The Lord your God who goes before you will himself fight for you, just as he did for you in Egypt before your eyes and in the wilderness, where you have seen the Lord your God carried you as a man carries his son all the way that you went until you came to this place." Fathers are examples. They're examples for their kids. One can look all around and see the correlation between having a father, father present in the family structure, and the eventual success of that children. I mentioned a little bit earlier about society and just different ways and crumbling around, and a lot of times the father wants to abdicate their duties of watching their kids. But I will tell you, it in the mothers or other adult men or women have to step in and do that. And do that. To see their success, somebody has to fill that role. And if you're a man here today and you are a father, God has told you it is your duty to be that person, to be in front of them, to show for your child's success. Whatever you step out, it's time, it's really time to buckle up and provide that form, especially in the fear and the different things that we have in this day and age and with society. These kids are looking to us. They need leadership. They need stability in that. We are their examples. They are meant to take their, you know, fathers are meant to take their kids by the hand and train them to become strong adults. Our kids are watching us. They will mimic how we act. Lessons are more often caught than taught. So, be careful of how you act when you are watching your kids play Little League. It's kind of hard to do, isn't it? Because you want to live vicariously through what they're doing and everything and going through it. And if you see something that was unfair or whatever, all of a sudden you see parents start going at each other and different things. And it's like the kids are just... All they want to do is, a lot of times, the kids want to just be done and go have ice cream or something after the game, you know? They want to be good. They want to have fun, okay? And so a lot of times we need to be careful how we do it. And that goes with everything. If he sees you being lazy, they're going to be lazy. They see you being violent, they're going to be violent. All these different things. Remember, our kids, it doesn't make a difference if you have adult children or if you have children that are just in the cradle. They're watching you. And they're going to start kind of acting like you, or they're going to become kind of like you. You ever realize that when you look in the mirror sometimes when, I'm 56 years old, and I look at the mirror, and I go, oh, that's kind of like my dad. You know, it'll happen. Unfortunately for your kids there, you'll understand that does happen, at one point. And so, after a while. Remember, lessons are more often caught than taught. In 1 Kings 15:11, Asa did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, as David his father had done. That's an example. You may have seen David. In Proverbs 23:22, listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Okay? Fathers are guides in what they do. They are meant to pass on wisdom onto our kids. They don't have to be geniuses, but they have an instinct to want what is best for their kids. Dads show their kids how to make wise decisions and tap into the reservoir of wisdom when circumstances become too complex for their kids. God designed it this way, and a father's wisdom is emphasized through Scripture. Proverbs 4, 1 through 4 says, hear, O sons, a father's instruction, and be attentive that you may gain insight. For I give you good precepts. Do not forsake my teaching. When I was a son with my father, tender, the only one in the sight of my mother, he taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast my words. Keep my commandments and live. Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Ephesians 6:4. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. In Colossians 3:21, fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. I know that I threw a bunch of scripture at you just there, but I wanted to emphasize the wisdom, the father's wisdom that we passed on to our kids, in a family. We pass that on to them. It's important that we understand that role that we impart upon our children is that wisdom, and it's throughout scripture there. I could have spent the whole hour reading different scriptures on wisdom. In that regard, it's important. Fathers, they give stability. Great dads are the backbone of the family unit. They provide a steady foundation, a firm handshake, and a consuming hug when we need it. In Bible verses about fathers, we see that they provide the steadiness that we need to face the world. In Ephesians 5:25-27, it talks about the stability here in your family. We talked earlier about society crumbling and the households and just different things like they do. It's the father's responsibility to show, to provide that home with stability with the help of his wife in the, you know, in the ladies that are in his life for our children. Ephesians 5:25 through 27. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle, or any such thing, that she might be holy without blemish. In 1 Corinthians 16, 13 through 14, be watchful, stand firm in faith, act like men, be strong. Let all that you do be done in love. Fathers are loving. You know, nothing can replace the father's love for his family. He has the joy of providing that love. It is a privilege and it's an honor that God bestows on the father for his family and for himself. You know, in Gary Chapman's book, The Five Love Languages, which, you know, it's a marriage counseling book and all that. And we've been through, Beth and I have been through several classes and different things, and occasionally they mention that. And I'm sure some of you guys hear about the five languages of love. But a father, and I'll bring that to you, a father, a mother, and the children, and all the other individuals in the family unit, absolutely needs to become an expert in understanding these, in the execution of these five languages. Think about that for a minute, what I just said here. In just a moment, I'll briefly tell you kind of what those five languages are. But it doesn't matter if you're a father or the mother or the child here or just part of the, a close friend of the family. We all have a responsibility to identify these five languages. When Gary Chapman, in his book, when he says each one of us is kind of hardwired with our own preference of which language we desire, which language is effective to us, and like with my wife is to, you know, for I should know what kind of language she wants, or she, or not really wants, but needs, for to express my love to her, and she needs to know my my language, and I need to know my children, okay. So it's important that we understand that. Those five languages are, as one is words of affirmation. Sometimes you want to be just told that you're doing a good job. Oh, that's great how you do and everything. And every kid's a little bit different in how they want to do it. Some kids, that could be really important too. The other language of love is, the second one is acts of service. They, you know, they just love to be able to do, to have it, you know, when you show acts of service, when you do something really nice for them, when you do some chore, lift them up and you do it for them without saying or whatever, that's just a meaningful way to show love to that person. The other one, the third one is receiving gifts. Some people just like having gifts, you know, it really shows something, like when, if you bring a flower or something home, or you give, you remember what day it is, you know, Christmas or Valentine's or Father's Day, they love to receive the gifts. It just shows that you love them, that you care about them. And quality time, spending quality time. For some people, it's really important that you just spend a lot of quality time with them as a way of expressing your love for them, that they enjoy. And keep in mind that multitasking is not really quality time. It's like you've got to focus your attention on them. They enjoy that, you know, if that's their love language. And the fifth one is physical touch. Some of them just love a hug. You know, some of your kids or whatever, you just love a hug, you know, or handshake or something or whatever it is. It means a lot to them. I have, you know, and with grandparents too, you know. I love that. So I love it when my little granddaughter Zaylee just comes running and gives me a hug. And I think she likes hugs too. She really appreciates it. Like that. Our Father God is a great example of how these five languages are executed to us, His children. We are His children. We are Father God's children. Fathers take pride in their kids. Dads are invested in their kids. When we fail, Dad is there to pick you up. When you succeed, your dad is there to cheer you on. There is no feeling quite like that of a dad who sees his child become a woman or a man of integrity, love, service, and work ethic. That's wonderful when we were able to look at our... So on a side note here, for the children, allow your parents to express their pride in accomplishment. It can be overwhelming sometimes when you see mom and dad getting all excited about what you're doing. But your acceptance of that pride, doesn't matter which age you are right now, but your acceptance of that pride can be a wonderful gift to your parents and grandparents and other adults in your family as well. I really enjoy that. I remember when I was 19. When I was 19 years old, I went into the Air Force, and I went and I did it, and I enjoyed it and everything. I was stationed in Fairchild in Spokane. My family lived in over in the Seattle area, and I would go home on my weekends, for 3 days, I'd go home and I'd sit there, and then it seemed when I was 19 that my parents, my grandparents, they all enjoyed me being home, you know, and they were there every single time, and they were enjoying me, and I was so suffocating, and I was like going, I just want to come home and relax or whatever, you know, but they were all, looking back on it, they enjoyed the fact that I was there, and finally one day, and this is one of the biggest regrets I ever had, was I told my parents, I said, look, you guys are treating it like a national holiday when I come home. I'd like to come home. I'd like to just be home and by myself and let me just relax. And then all of a sudden after that, it really never happened again unless I specifically asked for it. And I missed those times. And I missed those with my grandparents, my aunts, my uncles, I seen my mom and dad because I was where I was, but just some of those family gatherings and stuff. I cheated them out of enjoying the pride of what I had accomplished. So I'm just trying to tell you, but your mom and dad might be a little suffocating sometimes, but let them enjoy you and what you do. It's important that you do. In Psalm 127, 3 through 5, behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb, a reward, like arrows in the hand of a warrior, are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. In Proverbs 23:24, the father of the righteous will greatly rejoice. He who fathers a wise son will be glad in him. In 3 John 1 through 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Fathers reflect God's unique love. Dads are meant to show what it is like for us to receive love from God. We are made in God's likeness, just like we bear the likeness of our fathers. In Genesis 1:26, then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness,
and let them have dominion over the fish, over the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Psalm 103:13, as a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. In 1 Thessalonians 2:11 through 12, for you know how like a father is with his children, we exhorted each one of you and encouraged you and charged you to walk in a manner worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom of glory. When we see a father's unwavering commitment to a rebellious child, his swelling pride when they do best, and his willingness to sacrifice everything to be in a relationship, we see the character of God and what he does. And the last scripture here is Luke 15:20-24. It's towards the end of the prodigal son here. And he arose and came to his father, but while he was still long away off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned in heaven, against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is live again. He was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate. So while we have spoken about our father in the earthly sense, we cannot lose the perspective that we are reflective of our Father God in heaven. He desires relationship with us. And just as I have loved my relationship with my earthly dad, so desire that my relationship with my heavenly Father just grows and grows and grows for all eternity. I was such a mess of a person before I knew Jesus. Just like the one, the prodigal son here, that everything he foolishly squandered away. But then I found Jesus and have had a relationship with him since. And the same is possible for you. You know, and I will say that several people, they don't feel that they can come to Jesus. They feel like they've done so bad that they can't be forgiven. You know, and whatever they... My God, your God, Jesus, he is so powerful. He can forgive whatever it is that you did. Now, you know what? We look at each other and say, we as humans, we don't necessarily have the capacity to forgive somebody for doing so bad or everything. God does. He can forgive you for if you're a mess, whatever you do. We heard a great testimony there from Randy there. So look, I'm going to tell you, you guys, whatever you're going through, and online here, he can forgive you and all that. So at this time, I would like to have the worship team come. And we're going to sing a song. And if you want your relationship to grow with God, and you want to just I want us to just sing worship here. And if you'd like to come up and commit yourself a little bit more to Jesus and everything, feel free to do so. After the song here, we're going to be excused to go. I appreciate you guys being here for Father's Day. Remember, he created us out of dirt. And he made beautiful things. He made us beautiful in what we do. He loves us. Everything we are. I would ask you today to commit that to him.
You make me new, you
Lord Jesus, I just thank you for the privilege it is to have been here today, to worship you, God, as on this Father's Day. And Lord, I just pray that we just grow in a deeper relationship with you, and we enjoy our time with our fathers, and we enjoy our time with you, God. We thank you now, Jesus. In your wonderful name we pray. Amen.